Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
It's obviously that the enemy knows this as well, because he's after marriages and families. We used to have politicians that would say things like a strength of a society and strength of his families. So I preached on this Sunday, preached on the Lord's Prayer, preaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and we looked at the first part of the Lord's Prayer: Our Father who art in heaven, how God relates to us as a loving, protecting father. And I talked about the father wound, because I don't think we realize how deep that is of an absent dad, or who was there but not there, or an abusive father. I think the enemy's in this, and how we directly relate to our earthly fathers, which can hurt us, and how we relate to God the Father. So there's no mystery that when people want to say it's political, you know, gender and marriage and abortion, but when that political stuff starts getting into theological, that's our realm there, right? These are theological issues about a family and a marriage that God started from the beginning, right? In the beginning, God, and before there was a single politician, God said, here's marriage the way it should be. Here's male and female the way it should be. I joke with the church that Adam was the first politician, though, because he blamed everybody but himself when he messed up, right? So when you look at the family, for me and for you guys that are in ministry, this is our job description, right? I know men in my church that got a divorce, that's cheated on their wives, or vice versa, that got promotions, literally. But for me and for you, this 1 Timothy 3 passage about living above reproach, and 1 Timothy 3:5 talks about if a man does not know how to rule his house well, he can't lead the church. I told Zion from day one, I will not reach your family to only lose mine, right? I have to be, we're not segregationists. We're not saying you're this way in private, this way in church, this way at home, this way on the sports field. It's all worship, right? Who we are is who we are indeed. So Keith, you look at the passage in 1 Timothy 3, and any of our listeners could probably argue, right, that it's to elders, overseers, pastors, all the interchangeable. But you have several daughters. As a dad, I have a daughter. Would I not want these character qualities in any man that's going to marry my daughter? Is this not character qualities that every man of God should be and can be?
Absolutely. And I think as a dad, that's our target. You know, we need to be doing all that we can, number one, ourselves, to get the help we need to be those kind of men. But at the same time, if we have sons, let's raise them up, you know, to look like what the Bible describes here. And if there's no real pattern to develop these kind of men, or no real structure, for lack of a better word, or even a better way to say it, I just want to go to Ephesians: to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, this is work of the ministry, you know.
Right.
Ministries that happen at the house. And I learned conflict, I learned forgiveness, or even unforgiveness. I learned what bitterness is. I learned what, you know, disagreement is, and all those kind of things at the house. And so how do I lead my family out of a conflict? How do I lead my family out of brokenness or whatever? And I think you need to have, you know, the things that are mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, there's 20 of them there that are, you know, what a dad needs to really raise a man. But, you know, and when I pastored, we would have deacon ordination, and people nominate deacons. And long story short is they couldn't find any more men that were quote unquote qualified. Well, the reason why that happened is we didn't build them. We didn't shape them. We didn't develop them. So guess what? They're not going to be here. And it's like planting seed. You're not going to have a watermelon come up unless you plant the watermelon seed. And you got to plant more than just one, to hopefully get a harvest out of this. And I think if we look at it from a law of the harvest kind of perspective, I think we'll do what we can to start planting some seeds of development.
Right.
You know, to invest some at, you know, for that little boy that comes to Vacation Bible School this summer, comes to the church and doesn't have a relationship with his dad. Most of his influence is coming from a feminized culture. And then he shows up at the local church in America. My question is, does he have a shot to become a godly man that we see in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? Mm. And is he going to make it? Does he have a chance to become the girl he's going to marry one day? Will she have an opportunity to marry a godly man because he came to Vacation Bible School this summer? And where was a plan or a structure or a strategy to help him come alive as God's man in God's day, which is today? How's he going to get there? So, you know, I think part of these questions need to be brought before pastors of local churches and really every church in America. How are we developing and pouring into discipling, mentoring, coaching, leading, whatever the word you want to use, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, man?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, before we move on to the next point, though, I do think this is where a lot of guys struggle with how to lead their families. And so maybe just some quick practical tips here that you and I can share, because it is hard. I tell people marriage and raising kids are the two hardest things I've ever done, by far the two hard. And it's an everyday submission to the Lord in that area for sure. But I get men all the time and say, hey, what can I do? I haven't led my family. I need to do. And men are doers by nature. We want to fix it, right? Sometimes our wives, Molly and I were walking yesterday, and she said, I just need to vent for a minute. I said, are you venting for me to listen, or you want me to be the fixer? She said, why don't you do both? So I listened to all the venting, and then I tried to give my practical insight and the great wisdom that I have, right? But when you look at First Timothy and Titus, all these 20 traits are character, right? So when people say, what must I do to be a deacon? It's about who you are, because who you are affects what you do. So they're all character things. So part of this is just apologizing your family, stop making excuses, and start being a man of God and let the Spirit lead you from that. But what practical tips, Keith? Because I've been in your home. I've seen you lead your family. You're a great example. I've seen you guys play outside. I see you lead your family in family devotions. Sometimes men overcomplicate it, right? I don't have a seminary degree. I gotta know the Bible. Just what practical tips, real quick, before we move on to man's relationship with the church, can you give a man on leading his family well?
I think it starts where you started it at, is that, you know, I want to be God's man. I want to be God's husband for you. It's just, I'd get my family together and say, hey, listen, I don't know what to do. Would you pray? You know, would you pray that God gives me wisdom? Would you pray that God gives me a resource or another man to help me navigate this? And, you know, part of that, I would say, you know, really quickly, is you can tell your personal testimony. Being honest is always good. You know, some men have never shared how God changed their life to their own children, you know, so just tell on your personal testimony, how you met Christ and what God did in your heart and how that was when you experienced his move in your life. And then at the same time, I'd say, you know, what's he doing right now? And then you could also tell the kids, hey, would you pray that daddy would be a legacy-minded man that lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ? And, you know, so that's one thing. Some of your favorite Bible verses you've ever memorized, or some of that you felt like had impact in your life. I've oftentimes taken my kids through some of the verses that I memorized early on because they shaped my theology and my mindset so much. And I really felt like I needed to be a good steward of that and give it to my own children. I mean, anywhere from a proverb a day, today's the 26th. So you can just read through Proverbs that morning and then maybe pick two or three verses that really spoke to your heart, share them with your family, how you're going to apply them to your life, what the family maybe need to address in terms of the passage that you may read. There's a lot of things you can do. I mean, we've even read short books of the Bible every single day as a family. You know, we're going to read the book of James every day for the next 30 days. Yeah. So there's all kinds of things you can do. And what I would also do, would probably say, is ask other men, what have you done that God used in your family that really helped you, you know, get some traction as a spiritual leader? But I think being honest and being humble, that opens the stage for, you know, obviously transparency. And then God really does use his transparency,
right? Yeah,
to help these men come alive.
Yeah, he does. And it's just keeping it simple. I think Donald Whitney wrote a book on family worship. He said, just read the Bible, pray, and sing.
Yep.
And you don't have to do any, you don't have to spend hours in preparation. You're not preaching a sermon, right? You're not teaching a theology class. And I think the two things that have helped me is, I don't remember, my dad is still my best friend, a godly example. My mentor, my pastor. I don't remember some of the family devotions. I don't remember some of the prayers. I remember some of the spankings, you know, but which is part of shaping a young man in Hebrews 12, right? But what I remember the most impactful for me is that he was the same guy in a pulpit as he was at home. And that has modeled to me that my dad wasn't a different guy at church as he was at home. And that comes from the heart of the man, the character of a man. One of the things I would encourage men to do that I've done, and I'm not saying every man should do this. I understand work schedules are different. But I think one of the things that's helped me and my kids is for 16 years now, now my boys are getting a little different, but my little 11-year-old girl, I've done bedtime every night for 16 years. And that's a time where I'm cuddling in the bed, I'm laying there, and I'm just praying and talking. And that's our time. We've read the Bible. And that's just a time that I've helped shape my kids. Part of that, though, to lead your family well, is a man in his relationship with the church. Because I want, and I'm segueing into this, Keith, because for me, I want other men to come alongside my teenage boys, right? They need to hear something different. Well, they need to hear the same thing, I guess, from different people. And part of that is I want them to be actively involved in the youth group. So break down for us what it means to help men win in their relationship with the church.
Well, it was the church that really helped me get all these right, you know, and they didn't know what they were doing, but they were faithful men that were there that, you know, they were doing what they had probably seen over the time. And but the blessing was that I got under preaching, biblical preaching, expositional preaching that really helped me come alive and reconcile with the Lord and experience what I would say is personal revival. And then, you know, I didn't quit coming because I felt like that was, you know, a piece that I needed to own it, you know, to try to own this. How is it going to look for me? And so then, you know, really clearly scripture tells me what that looks like. I don't want to forsake the assembling of myself together. I want to lead my life well. I want to make sure my family's connected. And I'd hate to, you know, say that I'm a follower of Christ and, you know, we're not following him. You know, so I want to follow him. I got to be there at the church. And I, you know, one of the first days I ever did, you know, when I got right with the Lord was experiencing God. And that's really how, you know, God took that study and that's how I operate and think through decisions and the will of God for us. And, but I think the church is, you know, when you look at the church, it's what God designed to change the world. And man, I think when a man's right with God, when he's right with his family and he's right with the church, God could use him to change the world. There's a passage I want to make mention too that has gotten our attention, you know, over the years, and we kind of operate out of this. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1, to him we preach, speaking of Christ, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And so to me, that's what I think the church ought to do. If it really does, you know, warn, even in my own personal life, I try to, you know, I thank God for the warnings. Amen. Don't you thank him for the warnings that he brings?
Yes.
He warned me about this and I responded to the warning. Then I was taught in all wisdom, you know, teaching every man in all wisdom. And there's a life that God wants me to have. And wisdom is looking at life and living life from God's perspective. And if I do that, the privilege of the principles based in God's word and the obedience to what God leads me to do, I can experience, you know, just the privilege of his teaching and the follow through in his teaching or the privilege of that teaching. And then, you know, he says that we may present a man perfect in Christ. It's really the word mature there, that they're fully mature. That goes back to that character again. And we see in the epistles over there in 1 Timothy and Titus. So I think if a church were to look at its men's ministry, these are three things I think that need to be at the top of the list. How are we warning men? How are we teaching men in all wisdom? And then how are we going to present them perfect or mature in Christ? What is our plan? What's our strategy? There's a lot of men's ministries out there. There's several things that you can get as far as content goes. But at the end of the day, what am I going to do to warn, to teach, and to present? And, you know, I think that's really the heartbeat of Real Momentum is that, man, we need to have preaching that warns. We want to have preaching to men that teaches, and we want to have preaching to men that presents them mature. And that also connects to that local church pastor. So I think the local church pastor needs to be involved in shepherding men. Like Kirby Smart, who's the Georgia Bulldogs head football coach, if he doesn't show up to the practices, what kind of influence is he going to have? What kind of impact is he going to have? The players are going to say, where in the world? Where's Kirby Smart at? Where's the coach at? you know, and you got these other guys trying to fill in the gap, but the head coach that can't, you know, they can't fill in that head coach gap, that leadership gap, because I mean, Kirby recruited me, and where is he at? You know, he's not
right.
He's not teaching us how to win this game against the Crimson Tide or whoever they might play. So I think, you know, the spiritual leader needs to be involved every bit of discipling them. Jesus was, so why not be involved as a pastor? Yeah.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.